You're listening to Social 545, where we discuss what's trending in social media and interview weekly guests. Now, here are your hosts, Saba Siddiqui and Carlos Gill.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Social 545. My name is Saba, and joined with me today is Carlos Gill.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Social 545. Saba and I are going to bring the fire to you today. We're going to talk about Beyonce and real-time marketing in social media. But Saba, I'm going to throw a little curveball at you here and something that we didn't talk about in the script of this show. And what I want to ask you is about Peach. So we talked about Peach like three or four episodes ago in Social 545, and I'm starting to ask the same question that other people are asking, and I'm going to throw it at you. I'm going to drop it like it's hot. Is Peach dead or what?
So I don't think it's dead, right? So there's still users. I still post on it. I get fairly good engagement, actually. I was able to connect with a lot of people initially. They've come out with a few new features. You can actually have a description in your profile now. They've changed up the way that you can engage. They're adding a chat feature. They're adding a messaging feature. So they're adding a little bit more functionality and a little bit more meat to the bone of where they were a few months ago when we initially talked about them on our podcast. So are they dead? No. Are they the hottest thing on the market? No, because Snapchat's the hottest thing on the market. But do they have viability and can they grow up and be something great? Yes, but it's just going to see, we're just going to see if time reveals all.
Yeah, cut that part out. I got to say, it just shows the volatility of social media nowadays. A month ago, we were sitting here talking about Peach, how it was possibly going to overtake Twitter and be the next one. And let's face it, guys, you know, since we're talking on a show that's about what's trending in social media, Twitter's not doing all that hot on Wall Street or with the rumblings of them expanding to, 10,000 characters. But, you know, we were just talking about Peach a month ago, and the reason why I had to ask you that is because I went on to Peach a couple days ago after not checking it for about a week. I was like, wow, I left, and it seems like no one has really been engaging with the same type of enthusiasm. And you're right, Snapchat continues to be that hot social network that everyone wants to be on. So speaking of Snapchat, we took a couple of weeks off from the podcast. The last episode was with Frankie Greek, and she absolutely hit a home run and killed it. But what did we roll out since that episode with Frankie?
So we have been really busy promoting and talking a lot about our Snapchat for Beginners course, which we recently launched on Udemy. And if you want to check it out, it's on udemy.com/Snapchat course. And if you want the discounted code, you can find that on Carlos's profile as well as mine. And really, the course is 47 lectures, over 2 hours of content that goes through all of the features, all of the setting, all the tools, all the ways that you can engage and get started on Snapchat. And this is really about someone who is on the platform, not really sure how to create their content, or if you are not on the platform, you're thinking about getting started, you want to ease into it with a little bit more of an understanding of how the platform works, this will be a great way for you to start.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been talking consistently over the last 6 months since we launched Social 545 about Snapchat. Saba and I are big proponents of the platform. She's on there, Saba Siddiqui. I'm on there at The Carlos Gill. And about a month ago, we decided, you know what, let's put out a course, a comprehensive step-by-step online course that would help users of Snapchat, anyone that's just getting started on the platform, a course that would help them and walk them through everything from literally downloading the app, setting up a profile, adding friends, all the way on through how do you create a story, how do you engage your audience. So big thanks to everyone so far that signed up for the course. Again, like Saba mentioned, you can find it on Udemy, udemy.com/Snapchat course. And we have a promo code for all of our listeners of Social 545. So if you go on Udemy and you enter Social 545 as a coupon code, you actually get a really big discount to take the course. So check it out and make sure that you connect with us on Snap. So let's get into this week's episode. We're going to talk about what happened with Beyonce around the Super Bowl. And no, we're not referring to the halftime show with Coldplay and Bruno Mars. We're actually going to talk about what happened on social media before the Super Bowl on the Saturday leading up to it and what marketers can learn about real-time marketing in social. So let me walk you guys through a chronological order here of the events. Beyonce last Saturday dropped her newest single and music video, which is called Formation. And if you haven't seen the video, check it out. In fact, I was just jamming out to it before we went on air here. Beyonce is killing with the dance moves, with the lyrics. It's definitely got to be the furthest away from her days with Destiny's Child. It's like, you know, Beyonce has taken up her game to a whole new level. But that's besides the point. So in her song, which is really racy, and I'm not going to repeat the lyrics verbatim, but in the song, she refers to going to Red Lobster after doing the deed. And, you know, you can use your imagination here, but you know what deed I'm probably talking about. Talks about going to Red Lobster with her man after doing the deed. Now, what happened at that moment is really what we're going to hone in on. She mentions Red Lobster, and immediately the internet goes blazing. You had people like John Legend, who has a lot of followers, creating memes. Like, he posted a photo of President Obama on his Twitter and basically referred to, like, oh my God, like, people at Red Lobster right now in PR marketing must be, like, shaking their heads. You had the whole Twitter sphere blow up. This thing started trending. It really caught my attention. Like, maybe an hour after it was trending, there was already a million mentions of Red Lobster on Twitter. And immediately, I was like, what the hell is going on? Why is Red Lobster trending? So I even tweeted out, why is Red Lobster trending? And right away, like, four or five people responded and said that Beyonce just dropped a song in which she mentions them. So that's cool. The internet, as it continued to go ahead and make fun of Red Lobster and talk about things like cheesy biscuits and whatnot that Red Lobster is known for, all of a sudden start waiting for Red Lobster to chime in. And they waited and they waited. And ultimately, 8 hours went by from the time that Red Lobster started trending on Twitter to the time that they finally responded. And ultimately, once they did chime in my opinion, Saba, they had probably one of the lamest tweets that you could come up with for capitalizing off of a mega star like Beyonce mentioning you. And what they said was, I'm gonna read it aloud, Cheddar Bay Biscuits has a nice ring to it, don't you think? Hashtag formation at Beyonce. And from there, it was almost like a tweet storm erupted of, like, wow, Red Lobster really dropped the ball on this. You have a megastar like Beyonce, shouts you out in a song, you're trending on Twitter, you got everyone talking about you, and that's what you come up with? So a lot of people right away were just gunning for Red Lobster's social media team. They were gunning for Red Lobster's agency. Someone even tweeted, Red Lobster pays their agency $500,000 a year, and that's the best that you can come up with. Now, that happens. The other piece to it is in the days that followed since, again, this was a week ago, Red Lobster's sales, folks, are up 33%. They're capitalizing on this with a Valentine's Day promotion as well. So it's one of those things that's like they didn't rush to the party to go ahead and acknowledge, but Red Lobster is now on the map. People are going. 33% increase on sales, which is great. But Saba, what we really want to get to is at the root of the matter here, you had all this exposure. One can look as Red Lobster really dropped the ball. I want to turn this back to you now that our audience has context with what happened. If you're running social for Red Lobster or any brand for that fact of the matter, and it's a Saturday, chances are you're sitting either at home or you're out at the beach or you're out chilling with your friends, having a good time. You're probably not looking at the Twitter account for your brand, one would assume. So let's put it in the context of a marketer. Do you feel that marketers should be monitoring, whether it's marketer or agency, should marketers be monitoring these channels in which they're compensated to help grow and manage Monday through Friday from 9 to 5?
Yes, I mean, absolutely. I mean, when it comes down to it, social media is social. There are people there that are engaging, whether it's midnight, whether it's 6 a.m. It doesn't matter. We were talking about this before we started recording, and really, it's about the fact that if humans are awake, if one human is awake, social media is on, right? And I'm going to compare it to something that is not equally as important, but when you talk about functionality, and if you have someone who's managing an account, then it matters. And I'm going to compare it to a hospital. Hospitals never close because there are always people that need assistance. There's always an emergency. There's always something happening. And if you are on social media, if you have a presence, if you are investing money to an employee, to an agency, to a group of people, whatever you may be, a consultant, you need to make sure that they understand that social media is not something that they turn off when they do not feel like going on it. It is constantly moving. And for this mere example of, we see that Beyonce, probably one of the largest superstars in the world, mentions Red Lobster. Now, Red Lobster, all of you, some people might be huge Red Lobster fans. I personally am not. I don't even think I've been before in my life. But the point is, Red Lobster, if they wanted to pay Beyonce to do this, it would have cost them big bucks, right? That is like the influencers of the world. And so for them to not be able to capitalize on something like this really shows us that they don't understand how social media truly works and how they can actually capitalize on not only the song trending, Red Lobster trending. And the most interesting thing that you mentioned, Carlos, is the fact that the fans were waiting. They wanted to hear from Red Lobster. And so many of the feedback they got were like, wait, they had hours and this is all they came up with? This is really bad. And Red Lobster actually tweeted, "Are bad. We're really busy for some reason. Hashtag thanks B." I mean, it was just getting worse and worse and worse. And this is a Billboard article that we're referencing, and it kind of has the chronological order of where the tweets were coming out. But just like Carlos said, there is always an opportunity. And the opportunity sometimes you might not see in front of you and you might not know it's coming, but that is why you hire really great social media people who not only understand how Twitter works and how tweets work, but they understand how the social media world actually wants things to be consumed and how they want it. And I know in an earlier episode, we talked a lot about the reaction of social media about the Paris attacks. And that was an example of how you shouldn't capitalize. You shouldn't try to take advantage of people and send out an email and then say, oh, by the way, we have a promotional shirt, and try to sell things. So that is one side of the spectrum. And this is the complete opposite side of the spectrum. And so when we look at this, it's a really great example to kind of showcase how important it is that your social media team understand that there's going to be things that they have to deal with that's not in their content planner and not in their content strategy. And like you mentioned, Carlos, they're running the selfie challenge for Valentine's Day. But let's face it, a selfie challenge where people are going to submit their things, that's going to be great. But even if 100,000 people tweet at them, that's not even going to have close to the reach that Beyonce had for them for the Formation song.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly for you. You know, and I look at this from the lens of I've actually worked for a consumer brand. So I started social media in 2012 for Winn-Dixie, which is a supermarket chain based out of Jacksonville, Florida. And I'll be the very first person to raise my hand and at the front of the line and say, look, as long as your doors are open as a brand, you are open on social media. And even beyond that, once the doors close, you still have consumers that have an experience with your brand. Whether you're sitting on your butt at home or whether you're in your office, I believe you have an obligation to those customers. And maybe not you specifically, but your organization does. And when I worked at Winn-Dixie, we actually had the support of our not only agency partners, but of our customer service call center. So you can take social media and you have the marketing aspect of it, which is the people that work at the brand or at the agency side Monday through Friday. But then it's also a matter of integrating other resources at the company or at the agency as well. So again, on the brand side, I'm sure Red Lobster has some sort of a customer service hotline or after hours hotline where if people have an issue, that's who they go to. So from my experience of working on that side of the business, you need to be getting people involved. And I tell you what happened probably right away when this happened, when this occurred to Red Lobster, PR probably jumped in the middle, marketing probably got involved, agency got involved, and all of a sudden you had all these hands, so to speak, in the fire, trying to think of what's the best way that we go to market with this. How do we respond? How do we engage? And once you start to overcomplicate the matter at hand, all of a sudden now you've forgotten a couple key components here, and that's the message. You've forgotten the demographic that you're speaking to. You've forgotten about your audience altogether, and you're really trying to say something that still is going to sound somewhat cool, but also corporate-y at the same time. And I'm going to just say it, guys. Like, customers see through the bullshit. They see through the BS of what you're trying to convey is not really to their liking, because you're not being personable. You're not being human about it. And I think it would have been much more relevant for Red Lobster within maybe an hour or two to just jump in and say something to the extent of, you know what, Bay? We love you. Even if it's something as simple as that. Or we're crazy in love with you. You know, play it off one of her songs. But just to come out 8 hours later and say Cheddar Bay Biscuits has a nice ring to it, don't you think? Yeah, I found that cheesy. But again, to your point, Saba, social media is one of those mediums that it doesn't close. It's always on. And I have this belief that if you're going to be on social as a brand, you either got to do it right or you got to get off. And we've seen so many examples over the years of brands that do it wrong because, A, they might have the wrong people in place. They have very junior level marketers that really don't get it. Or they might have senior leadership that doesn't necessarily get it or want to evangelize the fact that being on social means being relevant, being real time, being engaging. And not everything that you say is always going to have to be canned or scripted.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the other thing is that people have to understand that there is this expectation when large brands are involved, right? If this was a small incident, it wouldn't be as big deal. And so there also is context, right? So if you're a larger company, obviously you want to have the bandwidth to be able to support, you know, if something comes in at 2 a.m. or there's something trending, and to kind of get a lot of people on it, create really engaging content, put out GIFs, put out videos, you know, really be able to nurture that trending feature. If you're a smaller company, right, if you're, you know, a 10, 15, 100 person company, you probably are not going to, you know, get that type of exposure kind of right off the bat. And so you obviously want to think about it in those terms. And I want people to understand that when Carlos and I, you know, talk about things in dialogue, we're really being very specific to this, and it shouldn't be taken exactly verbatim, but there is context involved, right? So when you're a smaller organization, you have less resources. And if Red Lobster was mom and pop shop, no one would have cared if they responded or not, because people understand this concept of resources and having people.
Not only lost a lot of attention, they lost a lot of money. Because the way that I see it is, if they wanted to pay Beyonce, it would have been upwards of probably $1 million for her to say their name in a song that's going to be played millions and millions of times. It already has 8 million views on YouTube. And so, missed opportunity all around. And really what we want to teach everyone from this is real-time social media marketing, making sure that you are on the platforms that you need to be. You're really doubling down. And that's another reason we talk about, you know, don't focus on everything. Choose a few things, have a present, and really stick to your guns and be present. Know what your audience wants and really deliver on that.
You mentioned small business. I think if Beyonce and Jay-Z happen to walk into any small mom and pop coffee shop in America right now, that would be on social media and, you know, probably evangelized and embraced by that mom and pop coffee shop within minutes. I think what happens is when you talk about a big corporate brand like Red Lobster, everything that they say from that moment is going to be calculated and it's going to be taken out of context. So anything that they could have said maybe within an hour would have been possibly ripped apart even that much sooner, because you had more eyeballs on it. And I tell you, we saw this with Home Depot a couple of years ago, where they actually fired an agency of theirs because they made comments that were taken offensive by a certain racial group. And we've seen that side happen as well. So I think, again, social is one of those aspects, to your point, where you have to have your finger in the pulse. Regardless of what level you work, if you are on the agency side and you support a brand and you have access to their social channels, it's your responsibility to be in the know of what's happening with that brand. It's your job. It's a job that you sign up for that, I'm sorry, you don't really check out at 5 o'clock on a Friday for the next 2 days just because it's the weekend. there's still people that are going to interact with that brand. If you're a social media manager, if you're a strategist, if you work on the brand side, same thing. If your responsibility is a brand social media presence, you don't necessarily check out just because it's the weekend. So, you know, I've been working in this space now for a while. I've been on the brand side. And again, I'm speaking from experience that I periodically check what people are saying about my brand, regardless if it's a holiday, regardless if it's Saturday or Sunday, because you just never know. The whole Beyonce thing doesn't happen every single day or every single weekend, let's face it. But people having experiences with your brand, good or bad, that happens almost every day, and it happens almost every single hour. And I'll give you an example. I'm a big Cheesecake Factory fan. So I go to Cheesecake Factory to eat quite a bit with my family. And if I go to Cheesecake Factory and I check in and I give them a shout out on Twitter, as a consumer, I'm assuming that they're going to get back to me and engage with me because I'm there. Their doors are open. I'm not thinking, well, their social media team isn't at work right now. Their social media team's at home. And I think that one of the lessons for brand marketers to learn and walk away from this is if you are not going to be monitoring your company's social channels because it's the weekend, because it's the holidays, what have you, post those hours up front. Post it on the bio of your Twitter account. Post it on the description of your Facebook page. Let your audience know that you've stepped away. Just be very transparent with them so at least you've set that precedence.
That's a really good point in terms of setting expectations correctly. The expectation for a large corporation is usually by default, they are available all the time because they have the bandwidth. And if you're not, they are transparent. And like you mentioned, people say this on their websites. GoDaddy says, you know, we have a chat functionality for support, but it's only available at this time. So there's no one that's angry. They say these are the alternatives that we have available for you. I want to highlight, since we're talking about brands and marketing, I want to highlight one of the examples and experiences that I had that was actually very positive. I create, obviously, a lot of content on Snapchat, and a lot of times it's not intentional with something that, when I say intentional, I'm not getting paid for it. I just really do it because I love that brand or I love that product. And the other night I had a mini Häagen-Dazs coffee ice cream, and I created this really creative Snapchat story that I'm calling creative. Maybe you won't, but it was basically I took the Fort Minor song and I had it, and it was basically, you know, I was really sad that I had left. And so I made this snap story about, you know, where'd you go? I miss you so. And I was like referring to the ice cream. I had this little sad face. It was super cute. I saved the Snapchat. I tweeted it to Häagen-Dazs, and I didn't tweet at them. I just said, you know, really bummed that I ate this Häagen-Dazs really quickly. They immediately, an ice cream brand, right? They are a large brand, yes, but they are an ice cream brand. Within 2 minutes, Carlos, they were responding to me. And they made a comment like, oh, looks like you're out. You might want to restock to make sure you have a great day. We had a little bit of dialogue. I asked them if they were on Snapchat yet. They said no. We kind of talked about that. They said they want to send me a surprise. I sent them my address via DM, and we'll see what happens. But that was a perfect example of them taking advantage of a fan and an advocate that already wants to speak about them, where I'm already creating content. And so if they weren't replying to me and engaging with me, the chances of me actually feeling like they're a very human brand and I want to really engage with them, now I'm going to intentionally probably make content for them, right? Yes. This is very, very important. And people, the most, I mean, you talk about this, Carlos, all the time, and I probably learned this a lot from you, is the best fans and the best people in your community are the people that talk about you. That is the best way to evangelize and grow your brand. And so when you have people that have really great experiences, that is the best review.
Yeah, you know what? You just hit the nail on the head, and that's real talk, because the point of social media, guys, is to be sociable. And you know, that's something I profess often. You have to use these tools to socialize. Otherwise, don't be on them. So I'm sure there's someone sitting there right now listening to this podcast saying, man, this guy is full of it, because there's no way I can hire up to have someone monitoring social media 24/7. And that's not necessarily what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say here is, one, you can't be everywhere and be everywhere great. So let's go ahead and take a step back and assess what platforms are mission critical for your brand to be on. Where is your audience engaging, and where can you see the biggest return on engagement? You have all these ROIs, right? So where can you get the biggest return from being?
So my answer to that is that it depends on what your brand is selling, how you want to engage, how you want to create content. These are all things that you have to take into account when you're choosing which social platforms to really double down on and crush it. Now, with that being said, though, I also have a part of my thesis that says you need to be where most people are not, because that is where you have this proportional opportunity to make an impact before everyone else floods in. And a perfect example of this is Facebook marketing in this day and age, unless you're paying for it, is not going to be substantially impactful for your brand. Yes, Facebook marketing is very great. It's great for the people who were using it 6 years ago and have the leverage to now really
offer. Would you say Facebook marketing is dead?
Facebook organic marketing is dead.
Because, you know, I've gotten into this debate with a lot of marketers and they all swear that it's not dead. And I'm right there along with you. If you have money to spend, being on Facebook nowadays is like advertising in the yellow pages was 20, 30 years ago.
Exactly. And so there are always going to be platforms that they are really, really hot, right? Where everyone is kind of on it and they're growing. And then there's going to be those channels that are really just, they have established themselves and they're so established that really penetrating through all the noise is very, very, very difficult. But the one thing I'm going to say is I'm going to take this opportunity to say that every social media, every brand that's on social media needs to be on live stream. They need to be creating content, not every day. Just be consistent with the content that you create because it humanizes your brand and you use it in conjunction. Now, find a way to create content, even if it's giving someone the content, right? Giving someone the Snapchat account, one of your employees, and say, snap your day through work. That is going to work amazingly well. And I see this done by agencies because agencies are not allowed to show the client work, obviously. They don't really have a product. They're providing a service. So what do? They showcase their talent. Their most valuable asset. And Gary Vaynerchuk always talks about this. His employees are his most valuable asset. If his employees can't perform, then his agency is not going to exist. And so just figure out what is your strength, what do you want to showcase, and focus on that. And that's where there's disproportional amount of advantage and opportunity on Snapchat and on live streaming as well. Because those are the places that it takes so many companies years to get on. And then once they do, they have to invest a tremendous amount of money to create content because at that point they have to do it paid. They have to use all these growth hacks. And by that time, it's really late and they might as well just move on to the next thing. So it's all about strategy.
So a couple things that you said there that really resonated. One, live streaming. I know live streaming is something that you're really high on. I tend to be from maybe the old school mentality of if it doesn't align and work for your brand, don't do it. So I think live stream works for a lot of consumer facing brands where you can actually teach your audience how to do something. If you're Home Depot, you can use Periscope or Facebook Live to actually teach someone how to build a shed or how to, you know, lay hardwood floor. That works for a lot of brands out there. For others, it doesn't because they just really don't have that coolness factor. But, you know, I'm also with you on engaging on some of these other platforms like Snapchat, where if you want to reach a high density of millennials, you're going to be able to hit them up on Snapchat a lot easier than you necessarily would on Facebook. But again, it goes back to what I said earlier. If you are going to be on social media, do it right. And what I mean by that is if you're going to be on Twitter, know what you're getting yourself into. I think with Facebook, there's not necessarily an expectation with real time in terms of customer service. But with Twitter, I think there absolutely is. And Beyonce and Red Lobster, you know, is really the proof in the pudding. It's the devil in the details. You know, big missed opportunity for Red Lobster on one hand, but on the other, what really matters is the cha-ching, the dollars and cents. And they've seen a 33% increase in sales because of Beyonce.
Yep. And that shows, you know, the reach and the impact that an influencer can make and how, you know, when something is cool, it's really cool. And if it's not, it's not. And really the market chooses what they want to accept and what they don't want to let into the kind of the magical cave.
The magical cave. I like that. Real talk. All right. So we're going to wrap up this episode of Social 545. If you're listening to us on iTunes, please be sure to leave us a review. Again, before we sign off, we want to give you guys a couple of resources to help you up your Snapchat game. One is Snapchat.directory. Join a growing community of Snapchat users. can go on the directory, add your name. We've heard just from a ton of friends of ours and other community members that they've seen a huge spike in their growth on Snapchat as well as their engagement. So the website's snapchat.directory. And then also, you've got Snapchat for Beginners, the course that Saba and I co-created. It's on Udemy. Visit the site at udemy.com/Snapchat course and use the code social545 to go ahead and save a few bucks. So before I turn it back over to my partner in crime, Saba, you can also add me at the Carlos Gill on Snapchat. And this has been a great episode. I love talking pop culture, Beyonce, a little fun with that and mixing in some social media.
Yeah, it's good to talk about some of the, I think, basics of social media and managing it, because we talk a lot with, you know, people like Frankie Greek and Mitch Jackson and all these really great people who are on social doing amazing things. But sometimes it's good to get down to the basics, really focus in and provide case studies for our audience to talk about, you know, here's where a brand did really well. Here's where, you know, they could really improve. And so we thought this was a great opportunity to showcase that all for you. Just like Carlos said, check out the Snapchat directory. It's continuously growing, over 3,000 people. We're going to be coming out with a lot of enhancements. This is the first time I'm talking about it exclusively on the podcast. Where it'll be easy for you guys to discover, be able to search. There's going to be a lot more functionality built in. So we are working on that for you. Thank you for all those who filled out the survey about the Snapchat directory. If you are on the Snapchat directory and would like to fill it out, please hit one of us up. It was also in the email that we sent out. And so we would love to get your feedback to make sure that we can address all of those concerns. And if you want to follow me on Snapchat, Saba Sidili, it's just my handle, consistent across all platforms. You know where to find me. You know how to get in contact with me. And we will see you on another episode of Social 545.
You've been listening to Social 545. Be sure to tune in weekly to stay in the know of what's trending in social media.